Linda? Oh, and Barb, too. Oh, a crew. Wow. Okay. Next Sunday is the beginning of March. Yay! Coming out of winter. Yay! It'll still be cold, but I can see on the horizon. Ladies' lunch has been switched from March 3rd to March 10th. So if you would take note of that. And then one other thing I forgot to put in the bulletin is, that would be one, two, like three Sundays from now, March 15th, Youth for Christ will be with us and will be presenting in the service their mission and their ministry, and it sounds like some testimonies as well. So that will take up the sermon portion of the time. I will be out in Alexandria, Minnesota for a rural ministries conference that Friday and Saturday. I am still anticipating and coming back because I'm really interested in Youth for Christ and their ministry and trying to get something more happening on the East Range. Hibbing and Chisholm and Keewatin and Nashwauk are like going great guns, and I just don't get why we can't get these kids fired up over here. And so I've been trying to work with them and get something happening over on this side of the range. But if there is a snowstorm or something, I will be still in Alexandria on that Sunday the 15th. There are some things on the couple of tables in the entryway. The quilt and craft retreat announcement is back there. Women's Ministry Spring Renewal is back there. If you would like to take one of those, you don't have to anymore because they have these QR thingies on there. All you got to do is shoot it with your phone and everything pops up. And the same thing is true with, and I promised this a couple of weeks ago, Jacks of the North. That's back there as well, and it's got a QR code way down in the corner, right corner, right bottom corner. This is what I was telling you about up in Cook. This is a dinner theater, and it's being held at the First Baptist Church in Cook. A Tale of the Struggles, Stories, and Brotherly Bonds of the Lumberjacks of Northern Minnesota and the Preacher Who Shared God's Redemption with Them. And there are five different dates and times where you can take advantage of that. I think the tickets were like $20. It doesn't say on here. But I think, if my memory serves me, that the tickets were $20. Any other announcements that I have forgotten? We have a few folks recovering still. Roger, as you know, is recovering from being in the hospital with pneumonia. I forget which side, which lung. And Bob and Mary are still recovering from COVID. I think they're past the five-day thing, but still recovering. And of course, Shirley is traveling. Continue to pray for her as well. If you'd like to stand with me and join with me in the call to worship. From Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9 and 10, cry and the Lord will answer.
Call and the Lord will say, I am here.
If you do away with the yoke, the clenched fist, the wicked word, if you give your bread to the hungry and relief to the oppressed,
call and the Lord will say, I am here.
Your light will rise in the darkness, and your shadows become like noon. The Lord will always guide you, giving you relief in desert places. I am reminded of Wayne because I pulled this out of the Covenant Book of Worship.
Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, fix upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise to thee an altar, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
Oh, grace, how great a tether daily I'm constrained to be.
Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts of love.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus, as we enter this time of remembering you and preparing our hearts to celebrate this great miracle of your resurrection for our salvation, we focus our attention and our hearts on you this morning, giving you praise and glory, thanksgiving, honor, worship, adoration, exaltation. We praise you and honor you and thank you. Because of your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Help me get that, Joel. Okay.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, beginning with verse 33. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And our second reading from the Gospels is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38-48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Opportunity to present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Can I ask the ushers to come forward? And let's pray together. Father, once again, we come to you with grateful hearts. We give with grateful hearts. And as we've heard from your word, we go above and beyond because of you with grateful hearts. Receive the joy and gratefulness in our hearts through Jesus. Amen.
Be still and know I am with you. Still, for I will sustain. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. When life is scattered, I'm not far away. When life is heavy, I'll carry you. When life is treacherous along the way, I will deliver you. Be still and know I am with you. Still, for I will sustain you. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. You can join number 88. When you are tempted, escape you will see. When you are broken, I'll comfort you. When you're repentant and draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Be still and know I am with you. Still, sustain you. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. Verse 3. If you are thirsty, come drink from the well. If you are hungry, come join the feast. If you are searching, then I will be found to bring you hope and renewal.
doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We will be including some intercessory prayer this morning and then praying number 896. I don't intend that we pray that together. It's a little too complicated and extensive. So I will just be praying. You can follow along. In addition to the prayer requests or praise requests I mentioned before, we need to include prayer for Leo Feneff's family. Vast family, as I learned on Friday. Extensive family. For comfort and strength and for the blessing of Jesus to minister to the lives of that great number of people. I was really blessed. The singer that they had there has this fantastic bass voice. And of course, I've always wanted a voice like that. A voice like Jeffrey's, never got it. But it's delightful to be blessed by those gifts that God pours into the lives of people. Any other prayer requests that you can think of? Let's pray together then. First of all, our Father, we would thank you and praise you and honor you for continuing to heal Bob and Mary, for continuing to heal Roger, for ministering your healing to Roger in the hospital that it didn't turn out like the doctor suspected, and that he's able to be home and recovering. We thank you, Father, in fact, for all of the answers to prayer, for healing that you've sent our way over the past weeks and months. You continue to be a God who answers prayer. We would like to pray this morning for the extensive family that Leo had. We ask that you'd comfort them, give them good memories, but in addition, we ask that you'd minister to each and every one of them the good news of Jesus, encouraging them along their pathway or reaching them at a juncture on their pathway that they might find your Son Jesus and the life that is above every kind of life that there is. We ask, our Father, that you would continue to keep us healthy. Keep us away from the traps that the world and our enemy Satan might set up for us through tragedy, illness, disease, circumstance. And so that we ask that you would bless Shirley's continued trip, Bernie and Joellen's trip upcoming, through the entire time, blessing each moment, each connection, and each opportunity for ministry to others or ministry to themselves. We thank you, our Father. As Jeffrey has reminded us through that hymn, you are present always, everywhere, in every circumstance. You are our God. Thank you for the reminder to take time and be still, to be reminded that you are our God. We praise you, O God, we acclaim you as Lord. All creation worships you, the Father everlasting. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, the cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise, holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, with your true and only Son, worthy of all praise, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father, when you took our flesh to set us free, you humbly chose the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death. You opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come to be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Amen.
The next song, we don't have an intro. It goes right out. It's me standing in the need of prayer. 388. 388. My press intro, it is going right there.
It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
A little fun with our hymnal. On Friday, one of the songs reminded me of the time that Kathy and I spent in Alabama. Where we were in Alabama, there was always a dispute as to where Mardi Gras started. Was it in New Orleans or was it in Alabama? I'm not sure they ever decided which was which, but one of the songs at Leo's memorial service reminded me, because it had that little jazz pop kind of thing to it, and it's kind of fun to have some variety to our music, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. I have chosen for Lent the Gospel of John. I've chosen it for a very specific reason, actually many reasons, that we won't get to today. But I'll try to identify them as we go through the next 5-6 weeks together. The Gospel of John is very different from the other three Gospels, as you know. Often when the Gospel of John is being talked about, it is said that it is a theological Gospel. I believe that it is a transcendent gospel. So that's not to say that it's not theological. I believe it is one step beyond theology, and I'll try to give you my reasons for that as we move into the Gospel of John, even this morning. The Gospel of John, from what we understand from history, is the very, very, very last book written in our scriptures, even after the book of Revelation. And that's kind of important in a sense, because it is in the book of Revelation that Jesus is referred to as the Word. And the beginning of the Gospel of John says this: in the beginning was the Word. C. Scholars and historians substantially agree that the Gospel of John was written between 90 and 100 AD. Remember, John lived a long time. The other disciples all were martyred. Not that they didn't try to martyr John, because they did. But he survived. So this gospel that we're looking at is 60-some years after the resurrection of Jesus. 40 to 50 years after all the other apostles had been martyred. 20 years after the fall of Jerusalem that Jesus had predicted and told his disciples, watch for this event, because after this event, I'm coming soon. And we read that in the Gospel of John. John has survived. He's been exiled to the island of Patmos, which for him is a prison island. He is required to stay there. We don't believe that he was put in chains, but he was required by the Roman soldiers to stay on the island. We have some history excerpts, which kind of delight me, that John escaped the island of Patmos a couple of times and visited the churches in Asia Minor. Don't know that for sure, but there are some historic hints that that happened. He was banned to the island of Patmos because they didn't know what else to do with him. They couldn't get him to shut up. They tortured him, tried to kill him. There is one story that they boiled him in oil and he didn't die. So they gave up trying to stop him, trying to kill him, because he just wouldn't quit. He just wouldn't deny Jesus, and he just wouldn't die. So they had to shut him up. And their plan was, send him off to this island, get him out of here, eliminate his influence. John the Apostle, similar to Daniel, outlived at least 9 Roman emperors. As you recall, Daniel outlived at least 3, probably 4 different empires. The first 3 Gospels are called Synoptic Gospels because they are a synopsis of the life and ministry of Jesus. They give an overview. There is one view that there were only really two core Gospels, and that is Matthew and John. And it's based on Matthew was a disciple, an apostle. John was an apostle. It looks like Mark took most of his material from the Gospel of Matthew anyway, added a few cliff notes for entertainment. Luke, as you know, was a reporter, and he interviewed people, and that's where he gained his material. But those 4 Gospels are, for us, the Word of God. The Gospel of John is focused less on history and historical events. It's not like the Gospel of Luke, that just in consecutive order tries to give a timeline of the life of Jesus from his conception to his ascension. In fact, the Gospel of John doesn't even include the ascension. Doesn't even include the transfiguration. Doesn't even include the Last Supper. Gospel of John is quite different. That's why I like the word transcendent. The Gospel of John is focused on falling on our knees, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And John has found something that is so much beyond anything else. Jesus has become his life. Now, that's not to say that the other apostles, the other believers, were different from that, just kind of a different dimension, if you will. Paul, for example, tells us that he was focused on serving his master and obtaining that crown. John, from his perspective, wasn't focused on serving because service was Jesus to him. He wasn't focused on a crown because Jesus was the crown. For John, he didn't have to look for later. John found everything in Jesus right here. And that's a little bit hard for us modern American Christians to get a hold of. And apparently hard for some of the New Testament Christians to get a hold of too. But maybe it can help us understand why these New Testament Christians with very little theology, very little understanding of the entire scriptures, volunteered to be martyred for the name of Jesus. That's a taste of what John had found. John had fallen in love with Jesus. John was in love. Heaven became irrelevant to John. Salvation, that gift, became irrelevant to John. Hell was irrelevant to John. John found his whole life in this Jesus. Everything. Living, breathing. And you can read it in these pages. This gospel. So John is either someone on the edge, someone really out there, or maybe he is just in so deep that it's hard for us to grasp this relationship that John has as he describes it in these pages. As I mentioned before, I don't believe John was theological. I believe John was relational. He was more interested in a relationship with Jesus than he was in understanding all of the questions, getting into all of the discussions like Paul enjoyed so much. He just got into Jesus. John's life is known through the other Gospels. In fact, interesting, the Gospel of John only mentions one apostle by name, and it's none of the famous ones. None of the rest are mentioned by name. John doesn't even mention his own name, though he refers to himself. Maybe this can help you understand why John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had found that relationship, that connection. John is into relationships. Jesus' relationships with people. Let me give you a few examples. His relationship with Nicodemus. His relationship with the tax collector up in the tree. His relationship with the woman at the well. His relationship with Mary. His relationship with Mary. His relationship with Mary. We believe there was probably five Marys in Jesus' life. His relationship with Martha. Martha, Martha, you're busy about so many things. Be still. Sit down with your sister Mary, because that's the best thing. His relationship with Lazarus. Jesus wept. John is into describing the relationships that Jesus had with people. And he's also interested in describing the immediate conversations that Jesus had with these people. Why some of those discussions are difficult for us. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks a question, and it seems like Jesus doesn't even answer the question. He goes off on this short monologue about the kingdom. John caught that. John caught that there are two worlds that are important. One world is the world we have down here, and the other world is God's world. John caught that Jesus lived in God's world and just touched and communicated in this world. And so the woman at the well comes to Jesus, and Jesus begins to talk about the kingdom of God. And on and on. John got it. John found it. John lived in that world with his Jesus. John's heart and soul is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is God. This is Jesus. Or more accurately, in John's own words, in the beginning was the Word. I hope that as we walk through the Gospel of John over the next few weeks, you will be blessed by the depth of relationship that John explains about Jesus. Yes, John's relationship with Jesus, Jesus' relationship with John, but even more transcendent than that Jesus' relationship with his Father. Don't you believe, now that you've seen me, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and I am in you and you are in me? Don't you believe that? John believed it. A little bit hard for us to believe, in a way, because of our way of thinking. If you're interested in the who, what, why, when, where, and how, read the other Gospels. And that's why many people believe that the Gospel of John is a theological gospel, is because it doesn't deal as much with those things. John is interested in the heart of Jesus, the very core, who Jesus is. We might say his nature, or maybe his motives, or maybe his intentions. I would say his breath, which in Hebrew and Greek is the Spirit of Jesus. John was in love with Jesus, the source of a new life, the source of a new kind of life, the presence of a new world above this one, even though living in this one, the bread of life, the water of life. And so, let me begin. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it or even comprehend it. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The beginning of John's gospel takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me read these verses again from John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In the beginning was the Word. The word in Greek is logos. I think you all know that. Probably heard that many times. The Hebrew word is different. And so I would like to close today by reading a Hebrew prophecy not often noted as a prophecy, but only found because of John's gospel. Because the Hebrew word for the Word sounds kind of funny, is found many times in the Old Testament. But it's found in chapter 8 of Proverbs. Kind of a funny place. So I'd like to read this for you. And I will put the word in the place where it appears, for the Hebrew word, as I read Proverbs chapter 8. And see if you can catch what John has caught from the Old Testament. Does not the word call, and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights, beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, discern prudence. O fools, discern wisdom. Listen, for I shall speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will produce right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands. They are right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction, and not silver. Take my knowledge rather than fine gold. For the word is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, the word, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I'm looking forward to this journey. If not for you, for me. This book is not describable. What John finds in the relationship that we can have with this Jesus. This Jesus who is here, present with us. All the time, every moment. Not just in church. Present with us. Amen. For today.
Turn to 97. 97, under his wings.
I'm safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings what a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Turn to one another, let's sing our blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious.
Gracious to you.
The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you